Moms know the ups and downs of life. It's what makes them great subjects for books.
This is one of the things that fiction can do, right? It can give us a window into the battles that each person is waging or facing, but it doesn't mean that we condone her actions.
This week on NPR's Book of the Day podcast, we are discussing books centering mothers. So call your mom, then tune into the Book of the Day podcast from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Columbia University students protesting the war in Gaza are vowing to continue their encampment until their demands are met. The Columbia protests have sparked similar demonstrations on college campuses across the country, including at the University of Pennsylvania, where student Emma Herndon is among those demonstrating.
We're hoping that they recognize the testament to the voice of so much of the student body that's present here, and the faculty that are present as well.
Penn's interim president, though, Larry Jamison, says the encampment there violates university policy, and he's warning protesters to disband. At Columbia last week, more than 100 protesters were arrested by police, leading to harsh criticism of the school's president. Columbia sent an email to students last night saying bringing back police would be counterproductive. Humanitarian groups in Gaza's southernmost city of Rafah making contingency plans in case of an Israeli offensive there, which Israel says is needed to eliminate Hamas. NPR's Becky Sullivan reports.
The UN agency that aids Palestinians has no plans to evacuate from Gaza, says Scott Anderson, the deputy director of operations there. But an offensive could force them to move elsewhere in Gaza, he says. They're working to stockpile aid and pre-position supplies outside of Rafah. A huge concern, he says, is what will happen if the million or more displaced Palestinians in Rafah will have to evacuate.
It would be utter chaos if they told everybody in Rafah, leave now. They're trying to move a million people all at once.
Another concern is the truckloads of precious humanitarian aid that arrive each day across the borders in southern Gaza. If combat nearby forces crossings to shut down, even temporarily, aid groups say the result could be catastrophic. Becky Sullivan, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Hamas says it's reviewing a new Israeli proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza. The group said today that the offer is a response to its proposal from 2 weeks ago. Details of the offer are not clear. The hush money criminal trial of Donald Trump resumes next week after a former vice president at the Trump Organization testified that she saw Stormy Daniels at Trump Tower. NPR's Andrea Bernstein reports from the Manhattan Criminal Courthouse on the significance of that testimony.
Rona Graff worked for Trump for 34 years as one of his most loyal assistants. She testified under subpoena with her legal team paid for by Trump, but in a clear voice, she verified records she'd maintained, including a mobile phone contact labeled Stormy and another contact for Karen McDougal, the Playboy model who said she'd had an affair with Trump and who received a hush money payment of her own. Graff said she saw Daniels in the waiting room of Trump Tower and knew she was an adult film actor at the time. The defense raised the possibility that Trump considered Daniels for a role on The Celebrity Apprentice. Testimony continues on Tuesday. Andrea Bernstein, NPR News, New York.
The judge hearing the hush money case has set a hearing for Thursday on what prosecutors allege are further gag order violations by Trump. And you're listening to NPR News. Forecasters are warning of more severe weather today, a day after tornadoes swept through the Midwest. Jason Sunday is a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, but he says he was never so scared as he was when a suspected tornado flattened his home near the Omaha suburb of Elkhorn.
Never been this scared. I mean, I've been over there and seen some gnarly things, but you're pretty helpless here, you know, and you have your wife here. You know, over there you have your battle buddies, and it's another thing, but you have your wife right next to you, and there's nothing you can do.
Multiple tornadoes were reported in Nebraska and Iowa. Tornado watch is in effect today for Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. South Africa celebrates 30 years of freedom today, marking the elections in 1994 that ushered in democracy. Kate Bartlett reports the anniversary comes a month before another pivotal election, which could see the party that's governed since the end of apartheid lose its majority for the first time.
In his Freedom Day speech on Saturday, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa remembered 27th April 1994, when white minority rule ended, as the day South Africa was changed forever. The historic vote allowed newly enfranchised black South Africans to select their government for the first time, and they overwhelmingly voted for Nelson Mandela's African National Congress Party, or ANC. 30 years later, however, many have become disillusioned with the ANC due to continuing poverty, high unemployment, and corruption. Polls predict the party could get under 50% at the elections on May 29th and have to go into a coalition, For NPR News, I'm Kate Bartlett in Johannesburg.
And I'm Giles Snyder in Washington.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.